You're late. Everybody's has an outline. All right. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. And this message was supposed to be a week ago, but divine appointment from Haiti. We're here to speak and share. And we took up an offering for them for $900. It's awesome. It was like $800-some. So that was great. Thank you guys for doing that, for being a part of Haiti and the outreach that they do. You know, when Stenio in the ministry over there is just phenomenal what God is doing. And we get to be a part of that. That's awesome. And when we stand before the Lord, you know, the rewards and the benefits, we get to reap them together with all the people that we support. Isn't that amazing? We don't think of that. I mean, we just, hey, Lord, we just want to give. But we get to be a part of the salvations and by supporting that. And Kenny and I support we were supporting our nephew in Arizona College. They have a huge outreach, and they reach a lot of students for the gospel. Anyway, when he was leaving and eventually got married, he asked me if I'd continue the support with a friend of his named Nick. I said, yeah. So I supported him $50 a month. Well, anyway, he called me yesterday, and we must have talked for an hour on the way home from Grand Rapids. But the work that they're doing in reaching the students for Christ is phenomenal. They're turning that college upside down, and the work by the power of the Holy Ghost, and to listen to him talk and just share what God is doing. And I thought, I get to be a part of that, just supporting that. So people, don't be afraid to support and to help others, because it doesn't go unnoticed to the Lord. All right. This morning I want to talk about breaking free to receive your blessing, okay? How many of you have ever gotten fed up over something? You get fed up once in a while over things. Anybody ever get fed up? Oh, yeah. What happens when you reach the point of being fed up? You know what? There's an anointing that can be released in and on you, even when you're getting fed up. Amen? We need to pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to release the power through us. We need that. And you know what? There is an authority or a dominion that you can walk in, and the enemy needs to know I'm fed up. So this morning, I'm asking you, how many are, you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to get to the place that you're so fed up what's going on that you do something about it. Most people are waiting for God to do it. No, you got to do it and get fed up, and God will be with you as you move forward in faith. Now, I'm going to talk about a story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. God declared the destiny of both brothers. Now, Jacob was destined by God to have the birthright blessing. Now, let's look at Genesis. I want to give you a little background before I get into my main scripture, okay? Genesis 25:23 says, and the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. Somebody want to tell me what those two nations are? Tabitha, what two nations? Israel and Egypt. Israel and Egypt, okay, the two nations, all right? Let me read this. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and the older son will serve the younger son. Okay? The only time you'll ever see where God overrides the firstborn is about 2 to 3 times in the Bible. You got Jacob and Esau, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob did the same thing when he laid his hands on And he took his hand and laid it back on. He said, no, he will be blessed too. And then Reuben, the oldest brother of the 12 brothers, his birthright was taken away because he went into his father's concubines and had sex with them. And he lost the birthright. Okay, those three instances right there. Okay, I want you to see something here. Jacob answered then. He told Isaac, Jacob stole his brother's birthright and his blessing. And notice what Isaac says to Esau concerning his future. Jacob answered, then sell me today your birthright, the rights of the firstborn. Esau said, see here, I'm at the point of death. What good can this birthright do to me? Now, I want you to catch something here. Jacob said, swear to me today that you're selling it to me. And he swore to Jacob and sold him his birthright. Now, let me say this. When you were the firstborn in the country of the new Eastern ancient times, your firstborn right was very, very important. The firstborn always got two-thirds of the inheritance. The family, the rest of them, got the one-third. The firstborn was given more authority and usually became a king or became something in great authority. Another thing that he got is he always had a special place and honor at the table, no matter where he was. The firstborn and the birthright inherited more, got more of the blessing, and received more of the blessing than anybody else. Now, Esau here is hungry. He's coming in. He's worked hard. He's toiled. So he comes in, and he doesn't even care about his birthright. And he sells it over a pot of soup, a bowl of soup. Now, I want you to see something here. One represents the spirit. The other one represents the flesh. Israel always represents the spirit. And Egypt always represented the flesh. Human nature is prone to scheme about what God would do without any scheming. See, the thing is, we sometimes feel like we got to help God get it done. So Rebecca and Jacob are in cahoots. Mama and son are in cahoots for him to get the birthright. God did not need their help in scheming and tricking and doing what they did to get the birthright. God's a big God, and he will bring it to pass. So we see them. He doesn't need any cunning deceit to accomplish his purpose in our lives. If we seek spiritual blessings in the right way, or we can get them in sorrow afterwards, I'd rather seek them in the right way and say, Lord, you're God. I'm not. I don't know how this is going to come about in my life, but I'm not going to try to make it happen. I'm not going to try to manipulate it. I'm just going to let you be God and bring it to pass in my life. That makes sense? And here we see those two, Jacob going after the birthright. God even knew. Rebecca heard it that God was going to give Jacob, but he didn't need her help. And so it was done in cunningly, but it was done. So the first point I want to give you is giving into deception can bring bondage and lost blessing. Isaac had told Esau to go out and get him some venison to eat. See, Esau was a hunter. Jacob was more of a mama's boy. He liked to hang around the house and just do things around the house. But Esau was a hunter. He was the man of the earth. Do you know that Esau means earthy? Esau became Edom, the country of Edom. Now, Esau represents earthy. He was walking in his flesh when he made the decision to give up his birthright to his brother. Jacob means supplanter. It means schemer, and we'll look at this in a little bit. But let's look at this. So Isaac told Esau to go out and get him some venison to eat. Then he would pronounce the blessing because Isaac loved Esau's food. So Esau was a great barbecuer. He knew how to get the barbecue on the venison. And Daddy liked it. And he said, hey, Esau, before I pronounce the blessing on you, did Dad forget that Jacob was to be the take the place of his brother? I don't know. So, here's what it says in Genesis 27. So now I pray you take your weapons, your arrows and your quiver, your bow, and go out into the open country and hunt game for me. And prepare me appetizing meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat of it. Preparatory to giving you my blessing as my firstborn before I die. Now Jacob deceives his father in order to get the blessing that belongs to Esau. So Jacob means to seize by the heel. It means supplanter. It means to replace. It means to supersede. It means to displace, to take over, to substitute for, to override, to oust, to absurd, to overthrow, remove, unseat, dethrone, succeed, and come after, whatever. That was Jacob's name. How many would like a name like that? Oh, here comes Deceiver. That's not a very popular thing. And so that was Jacob's name, Supplanter. He's always tricking to get something. Genesis 27, 19, let's look at this. And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you told me to do. Now sit up and eat my game so that you may proceed to bless me. So here comes Jacob. Esau's out in the field looking for deer to bring back to cook. Jacob makes some savory meat from a goat. Now I can tell the difference between meat from a goat and a deer. Venison. So anyway, Rebekah helps him to get it all together, to get in there and put some hairy, because Esau was very hairy, and so put all this skin on him to so when Daddy would rub it, he would think it was Esau. So they got this whole thing set up. So Isaac declares and releases the firstborn blessing over Jacob. Genesis 27, 28. And look at this blessing that he gets. This is who you are. Everybody say, this blessing is mine. Amen. Here's what he said. And may God give you the dew of the heavens, of the fatness of the earth, and abundance of grain and new wine. God's saying, hey, may you be blessed, prosper, everything you put your hands to. Verse 21, let the people serve you, and the nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Let everyone be cursed who curses you, and favored with blessings who blesses you. Bible says, he who blesses Israel will be blessed. Who curses Israel will be cursed. That's why we need to be allies with Israel. And we're stronger allies now than we were before. Because we want the blessings of God. You never come against God's, what he has set up. So Isaac and Esau realized they were both deceived. Look at Genesis 27, 35. Isaac said, your brother came with crafty, cunning, treacherous deceit and has taken your blessing. Esau replied, is he not rightly named Jacob, the supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Have you not still a blessing reserved for me? Now Esau made the choice of giving it up, but he wanted to blame Jacob for it. He's the one that gave it up for a pot of beans, lentils, and whatever was in there. He gave it up. He knew that by giving that up, he sacrificed his destiny. Listen, people. There's people that sacrifice their destiny for a pot of beans. For the world. They sacrifice it. And here we see Jacob, who wanted the blessing so bad that he'd do anything to go after it. Like I said, God didn't need Jacob to do it. God would have done it his way, but Jacob thought he'd help God out. Write this down. B, negative words that have been spoken over us can be also broken off of us by declaring the truth. Proverbs 8:7, let's look at this. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. Words have been spoken. Isaac blessed Jacob and pronounced his destiny. Well, that destiny could have been Esau's, but Esau would rather have the things of the world and feed his own flesh than to worry about the spiritual things. The flesh wants what the flesh wants, but you will sacrifice greater blessings and greater spiritual things by allowing ourselves to give in to the temptation of the flesh. And here, a whole system was turned around because Esau decided he didn't care for his birthright. Now, let's look at Esau's destiny as spoken. This is where I really want to bring out some things to show you. Genesis 27:40, and by the sword, he's declaring to Esau, he's got his hand on him, he says, and by the sword you shall live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now I want you to see something here. The Bible in basic English says, by your sword you will get your living, and you will be your brother's servant. But when your power is increased, his yoke will be broken off your neck. Now let me say this. That was spoken over Esau, but it was still a choice for him to break off, which was upon him. In a sense, Daddy was giving him a good blessing, but at the same time, Esau had to do something about it. Our enemy, Satan, has brought deception into the world, and he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the enemy. Satan has caused people to live by the sword of the flesh instead of living by the sword of the spirit. See, God doesn't want you to toil by the flesh, people, but he wants us to walk in the spirit and live by the sword of the spirit so that the blessings will flow in our lives. They find themselves fighting for everything that are living by the flesh. They're fighting for everything to try to do this, to try to make this happen, to make that happen, and every time they fail. Instead of trusting in the Lord for their provision, they have become servants of the world and the world system, and they're in bondage to the devil of this kingdom. And they're the Esau's of the world. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders. Now, he's talking about Israel. When Israel went into bondage and captivity to the Assyrians, the Assyrians were really brutal people. They were very brutal people. The burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness which prevents it from going around your neck. The word fatness here, people, represents the anointing. When the anointing comes, the yokes are broken. When you allow the anointing in your life to come, every yoke that the enemy has put on you is broken. Do we have yokes in our lives that need to be broken? If you're ever going to get back what the devil has stolen from you, you're going to have to live by the word of God or by the sword of the spirit. But you got to live in the right way, not by the arm of flesh, but we have to walk in this life, people. We have to live by the spirit and by the sword of the spirit. Ephesians 6:17 says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty spirit sword of the spoken word. That sword is not a defensive weapon, people. It's an offensive weapon. It says to declare your destiny, because if you don't declare your destiny, someone else will. If we don't declare the destiny over our children and our grandchildren, somebody else is going to. If we don't declare destiny over our lives, somebody else will set your destiny for you. That's why we live by the word of God and by the sword of the Spirit. Because the enemy is not going to set our destiny. We've already got our destiny set by the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're passive, you'll never get your blessing back. You've got to be militant. You've got to be assertive. You've got to be aggressive, or you'll never get the blessing back. Everything the enemy has stolen from God's people, we have to rise up and declare and decree and get it back. What has the enemy stolen from you? I demand sevenfold what the Bible says back. You catch the thief, he owes you sevenfold. Right or wrong, look how aggressive Jacob was in getting the greater blessing. He didn't stop. He wanted it. Esau just forfeited it over his own fleshly desires. Remember Genesis 27:4, and it shall come to pass when you decide to break free, his dad spoke over Esau, you will shake his yoke. Whose yoke? Jacob's yoke. The yoke of bondage from releasing the birthright. Wow. The ruling over Esau. You look at these two countries today, Egypt and Israel. Look how prosperous Egypt is. Look how prosperous Israel is. There's two nations, Esau and Jacob, right there. If you will live by the sword, which is the word of God, then you can count on it, people, that whatever you are going through, this will come to pass. Now get this. Now what's God saying here? When Isaac spoke over Esau and he said, when this comes to pass, he said, you'll rise up and you'll break that yoke off of your neck. You'll get sick of it. When you get tired of being tired and you get tired of living the way you live, he's basically saying, you get tired of wandering, being bitter and angry at your brother. He said, one day you're going to rise up and you're going to break that yoke off. You're not going to be a slave to nobody. I'm not going to be a slave to the devil. I'm not going to be a slave to the world. I'm not going to be the slave to this, drugs or alcohol, whatever it may be. I refuse to be a slave to it. Why? Because I broke that yoke off a long time ago. The yokes. Yoke can be anything. He says here, if you'll determine that you're going to live by the word, the sword, you're going to live by the word of God, then there will come a time that you will move over into the position of dominion and authority, and you'll break that yoke off your neck, which literally means, write this down and see, Satan's power and authority over your life has already been broken by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Can you say amen? It's already been done. He broke the yoke. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. God has already broke the yoke off of our lives. And he says, stand fast in what God already did. But what happens, people, is that we get into the flesh sometimes. We get it out of the spirit. We get out of the word. And we get into bondages and we get into yokes and all the things around us. And God is saying, stand fast where I've already set you free and break that yoke off. Are you tired of living in sin? He's saying, are you tired of living like this? Are you tired of being broke? Are you tired of living in poverty? Are you tired of being sick? Are you tired of all these things? Then rise up and break the yoke off. That's already been broken for you by Christ Jesus. Stand fast there in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not, now get this, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So that means that we got free when we got saved, but you can also get back into bondage. I've known people that got free, totally free in God, got saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, and on fire of God, and were going strong for a long time, standing in the liberty of Jesus Christ, and then turned and went back into bondage. Went back into sexual sins, went back into drug addiction, went back into all these different things, and got bound up in the yoke of slavery again, which God had already broken. I believe that Esau finally got free from the vengeance, the bitterness, the rage of being in bondage to someone else. This is how he felt. Look at Genesis 27, 41. And Esau hated Jacob. Well, why hate your brother? You're the one that gave it up to your brother. But see, Esau in his mind was probably playing with Jacob and says, just give me the porridge. You can have my birthright. Knowing that I'll get it back. Because daddy, when daddy prays, guess what? The firstborn gets the blessing, not the secondborn. Jacob was one step ahead of his brother. Right or wrong, he was ahead of him. Genesis 27, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are near. When he is gone, I will kill my brother Jacob. You think he was upset? He's upset. Jacob has to meet with his brother. Now, let me give you a scenario here. Jacob's a deceiver. So mama says, Jacob, get out of the house. Your brother's going to kill you. I heard him talk to your daddy, and he's mad. So I would go to your uncle, Laban, and go to my brother. It was Rebecca's brother. You go there, and you live with him. So Jacob takes off and goes to his brother, Laban. Now listen, what you sow, you're going to reap. What you sow, you're going to reap. Do you know that Isaac, Jacob was deceptive? Jacob's kids were deceptive. It was passed all the way down. So Jacob goes to Laban and he sees the daughters. And he falls in love. Laban's a deceiver. He's a very worldly man, worshiping other idols. And he says, Jacob, if you work for me 7 years, that was what it was, the dowry, to get the firstborn woman. He didn't want Leah, the firstborn. He wanted the second one. So he worked 7 years. Laban, his uncle, comes, well, Jacob, it's not over yet. If you want my other daughter, you have to work for my firstborn. You can't leave her here. So you got to work another 7 years. So Jacob's so much in love, he goes, I'll work another 7 years. Gets all done. He has to work another 7 years. During the whole time, Laban is deceiving him, ripping him off. Jacob gets tired of it. I'm out of here. So he sneaks out in the middle of the night, takes his wives, his children and grandchildren, whatever, the children, everything that he owned, and takes off. Laban finds out and takes off after him. Why would you do to this? And Jacob said this, you had changed my wages 10 times. 10 times you changed my way. He said, when animals would kill one of yours, I took the loss. I did all this for you. For 20 years, I served you. And you changed my wages 10 times. So, totally gets ripped off. But he's ripping off Laban too. So anyway, Jacob is out there, finds out Esau's coming. He's scared. Remember, it's been 21 years before he saw his brother. He's afraid. His brother's going to kill him. And they tell Jacob and says he's coming with 300 soldiers. I'd be scared. Has Jacob been changed in 20 years? I don't know. So he sets up the categories of the different groups of people. Now you'll notice he put Leah in the front. And he puts Rachel in the back. And then he has all these different groups. Because if one got slaughtered, the other ones could run. Jacob is still not getting it, that God has a destiny for him. So Jacob gets everything set up, camp set up, brother's coming, he's going to meet him the next day. And there's when he wrestled with the angel of God. He goes, and all of a sudden he's wrestling with an angel of God till the break of dawn. And he said, I seen God face to face. See, when Jacob wrestled, I really believe he was wrestling with the Lord Jesus. He said, I saw God face to face. He's wrestling. And he would not give up wrestling with God until he got a blessing. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said, the angel says to him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, the trickster, the schemer. And God says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Israel means contender with God. Israel means contender with God. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Do you know that when you get to heaven, you will have a new name? See, your name declares your destiny. They're important. Names were important. Jacob has to meet his brother first time in 21 years. Genesis 33:3. Let's look at this. Then Jacob went over the stream before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. Oh. He was humbled. He bowed seven times before he got to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. See, Esau broke the yoke off a long time ago. He still received the blessing. He knew that if he broke the yoke, he wouldn't be bitter, he wouldn't be angry, he would forgive and let it go, that he would be a blessed nation. But as long as he hung on to the past, he would never have a future. And Esau was wealthy. Egypt is wealthy, very wealthy. Israel's wealthy. Jacob and Esau made reconciliation with one another. And you know what? Esau was the one whose heart had been changed. And he was the one who made the first attempt in making right with his brother. Esau broke the yoke of bondage that was on his life. Great blessings flowed into his life. He had all he could want. That's freedom from bondage, people. Jacob even got free from himself during this time. Look at Genesis 33:9. And Esau said, I have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. But Jacob replied, no, I beg of you, if now I have found favor in your sight, receive my gift that I'm presenting for you. For truly to see your face is to me as if I had seen the face of God. And you have received me favorably. Jacob says, accept, I beg you, my blessing and gift that I have brought you. For God has dealt graciously with me, and I have everything. And he kept urging him, and Esau finally accepted the gift. And I'll tell you what, it was a big gift. It was like about 30 camels, 30 donkeys, 400 blazers, 600 pickups. There was about, you know, 400 houses, you know, pontoons and a lake to put it on and fishing stuff and motorcycles. Yeah. He gave them a lot and he blessed them. What happens when you get fed up? You move into action. Then what happens? You start getting results. The devil won't get off of you until you get fed up with him being on you. When you get fed up, you're going to take the yoke off your neck. When you get fed up, there isn't any demon in hell that can hold you back. As long as you are still tolerating it and you're not fed up, don't just accept your condition. Don't make provision for failure. Instead, petting the problem, get fed up with it. Write this down. D, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the word of who we really are. See, God has declared your destiny. You've got the greater blessing. You are all firstborns in the spirit realm. Everything Jesus has is yours. The only way you're going to get truly spiritually fed up is through the entrance of God's word. Because with the entrance of his word, you begin to realize who you are in Christ and your authority over the devil. Your authority to break the yoke that's been on you or the enemy's tried to put on you. Psalms 119, 130. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Amen. God, I need a revelation. How do I get out of this? How can I break free from this? When you find out what is yours, people, by the revelation of the word of God, you will never be passive again. Then get back what has been stolen from the devil. Don't let the devil off the hook. Make him pay back sevenfold. The word is always available for you to use against your adversary, but you've got to be uncomfortable enough to pick it up and apply it. You've got to reach the point where you grow restless over what's happening to you. The ESV says, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Esau said, I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to get the greater blessing. Even if it's not the firstborn, I'm going to take the blessing. When you've finally had enough with constantly battling things in your life, you will throw the devil's yoke off from your neck. See, Jesus sees how you are feeling right now, and he says this in Matthew 11, 28. He said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Why are we allowing the enemy to put heavy yokes on us? Ah, no. The Amplify says, you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. Doesn't that sound better? We know what it was like before we knew Christ to live in bondage. My mercy. I didn't like it, but I didn't know how to get free from it until finally someone spoke the word. The Passion says, so everyone come to me. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life as I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. Isn't that awesome? If your yoke is not easy and light, it's not his yoke. It's somebody else's. See, Jesus obviously wants you up. He wants you to be set free. He wants you delivered. He says he'll even give you recreation. You're going to have some fun. See, God is fun. I don't know about you, but I can have fun. I don't need the world to have fun. You're going to learn. You can enjoy and have joy in every situation, people. Let me close with this. When you come to Him, you will learn the truth about your situation. No matter what that situation is, the truth that you stand on His word, God is going to give you the victory through His word. With that revelation, you will be able to walk through any situation with joy in your life and hope, knowing how it's going to turn out. Let me ask you a question. Are you fed up? Are God's people fed up? Are we fed up what's going on? How we're settling for this and settling for that? We need to be. Are you ready to break the yoke and quit being a servant to the flesh or the enemy? Are we ready to go after our blessing that belongs to us? See, God has greater blessings for you, but we hinder those blessings because we make the wrong choices. God, help us to make the right choice to receive what is greater than what is offered. Are you ready to receive the blessing that has been destined for you? Then you have to do something about it. God has broken the yoke for you. Keep free from the yoke of bondage. Stand in the liberty and go after the blessing and what is already yours in Jesus Christ. It's already been destined for you. God has already gave it to you. It's already yours. But sometimes as Christians, we got to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm tired of the enemy attacking my family. I'm tired of the enemy attacking my marriage. I'm tired of the enemy getting in there, bringing sickness and all this junk. I'm tired of living from hand to mouth, living by the sword of the flesh. The Bible says Esau lived by the sword. He had to make a living by the sword. You wonder if he'd have been an Al Capone in his time. But Esau, what a changed man. He broke the yoke. Daddy, you spoke the yoke, I broke the yoke. I'm not going to be in bondage to anybody. And became a great nation. See, Egypt's never been Israel's problem. It's been Iraq, Iran, and all the other countries. Most of our oil comes from Egypt. But Esau said, I'm breaking it, breaking the yoke. Jacob was changed to Israel. No longer is he deceiving and fighting against God, but he's a contender with God. He became a great nation. Amen. So when you get tired of being tired, enough's enough. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. No more, devil. You're not ripping me off. You're not putting bondage on my children. You're not putting any bondage on my grandchildren, my marriage. Whatever it may be, you have no rights. You have no authority. Because that yoke has been broken 2,000 years ago on Calvary. I stand in the liberty, in the freedom that God gave me through Jesus. And I refuse to let anybody put their yoke of bondage on me. The easiest way to keep the yoke off is to forgive, make reconciliation, do everything in your power to release that. That'll free you up right there. So many different things. But let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you and we worship you. Thank you so much. Father, we come to you and we thank you that we stand fast in the freedom that you gave us. Lord, we know people that are yoked in bondage of the things of this world. And Lord, we pray for them and we lift them up and we need to share the message of reconciliation. Father, help us to be the burden lifters, to be the ones to go and to see them set free by your power and your anointing. The same way, Lord, you set us free. Today, Father, I pray that if anybody in this place has been struggling with bondage, that it will be broken by the power and the anointing of your presence. Father, just like Jacob, as he began to wrestle for the blessing and receive from you, his name was changed. Father, today we thank you that we stand in freedom. We stand in your anointing. We stand on the word of truth. We declare it, we decree it, and we thank you for the freedom that's in that. And Father, we just give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. Set your people free. Set your people free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're free? I'm glad I'm free. There's nobody putting bondage on us. No. That's for me and my house. We serve the Lord. Hey, Chad, can you put that next song on? We'll close with that.